Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Last week, Wednesday, we did something that we haven't done in a long time. And we sat around in a circle and we listened. We prayed in the Spirit and we listened. And some people don't have their prayer language, so they just listened and prayed in English. We shared what we heard the Holy Spirit saying about each person as we went around the room. And I got a lot of feedback on that, actually, and people really enjoyed it. And I guess the question I have is there any questions tonight about last week's message? I know we went really late. We didn't even know it was so late, did we? I know. It was really fun. We used to do it on Wednesdays in Bristol, and we called it Circle of Truth. Because it's the Lord speaking, and it gives everybody an opportunity to practice the giftings of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, which I think is fun. And so does anybody have any questions before we go on? Okay. So, what's that? Yeah, we will, but not tonight. During worship, I was actually asking the Lord what he wanted to talk about tonight, and he said, Kim's got it. And so I sent a quick text to Kim, hoping she would get it, and said, do you have something for tonight? And she said, actually, I do. It's been bubbling. And I said, okay. So I'm not sure what's up, but we like to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's his meeting. It's his time, and we like to yield. And so he's got something to say tonight. And I like prayer language because it's like coming into who you really are in God. And it's really hard to do life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I live that dead life. I don't want to live that dead life anymore. And so when somebody gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he got baptized like, what, 2 weeks before that or a week before that? Yeah, so he's a hungry one back there. And God tricked him. God actually called him to help with the sound. And did you know anything about sound before? Just a little? Okay, yeah. So like my knowledge of the sound when he called me was I knew how to turn my stereo up and down, in my car, and that was it. And he called me to work sound, and I made a deal with him, and the deal was I'll get it all dialed in. I had to learn how to do it, but then I don't want to mess with it during the service because I want to worship him, and I don't want to be pulled out by any distractions. And I did that for many years, and it was a real blessing. And I think he does it to trick us to have to show up, because I'm one of those that it's sunny out, it's cloudy out, I don't know if I feel like coming, and I'm not saying that's you, but I know he tricked you because he told me that one day when I was on the lawnmower that you can't run because you're needed by the Lord. You got a question? The sound?
No.
Tongues?
Transaction there. Why the second baptism?
Okay. I'll just share a little bit about it. I remember sharing last Wednesday that Marty taught on it, and it was phenomenal. And we're actually going to make that available for people to hear. Barbara, you already have it. Oh, no, you don't. We don't have it ready yet, but it's the next conference that's coming out. And Marty, he gave such a great ABC of don't leave home without the Holy Spirit that I've ever heard. And I would not even give it justice to share the way he shared. But basically, in a nutshell, when people come to Christ, he calls us. We think we're the desperate ones, and we call on him, but he's called us from the beginning of the time. And sometimes we look up and say, Lord, help me, and he's, oh, you're finally ready, but he called us. So there's more than one transaction that takes place. First off, there's only one way into the realms of glory, and that's through the Holy Spirit. And you know, there's counterfeit ways, and that's through witchcraft and sorcery and other stuff. And who's been trapped in that? You don't have to raise your hand. But many people have. And the reason why is because we're all created with a desire to know God. Isn't that amazing? Because we're made in His image. So there's a desperate need in our heart to find Him. And so along the way, we search and we get trapped in counterfeit stuff. And that's the job of the enemy because of the fallen world. So there's like the first transaction is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And when that happens, it's a marvelous revelation of faith that's released, because it's kind of like you have to really believe that He is Lord and that you're desperate because you're a sinner, and that He sent His Son to save us through the cross and resurrection. And that seed of faith is like just the beginning. And then, you know, many people stop there. They just think, and I stopped there for a long time. I was like, well, you know, I got that in. I looked at it as my Monopoly get out of hell card, you know, in case I got in trouble. And that's because I didn't know any better. But I learned along the way through the word, that there is no shortcuts. It's through personal relationship of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And so the second transaction is, you know, in Acts 2, they talk about when they were up in the upper room, you know, His disciples, Jesus had died, and everybody thought, you know, this is it. We put our hopes in Him, and He's, you know, now what? And so they were praying, and they were, and He said, wait, but they didn't remember that He said, wait until I return. I'm going to send you the Comforter. And they're like, how do you understand what that means? That's like saying, I'm going to send you Shababa. You're like, what does that mean? Well, you don't know because you didn't know. And so they're like, you know, they were raw in emotion. And I love that. They were real. But they knew one thing, to pray. And so they're praying. They're in the upper room. And bam, tongues of fire. And we should probably pull out the scripture. But basically, they got filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just some casual, you know, we've dumbed it down so much because of, we don't want to look foolish, or we don't want to embarrass ourselves, or let's not put anybody on the spot because we want them to come back next week, which I think is a bunch of poo-poo. If you're hungry for God, come back next week. If you're hungry for God, come back tomorrow. If you're hungry for God, come back today. Just except for next week. I'm going to be on the lake. I don't know where I'll be. So they were desperate, and they were together in one accord. And what I love about together in one accord is a lot happens when you're together in one accord. I've seen amazing things break through because everyone's on the same page, so to speak, and they're not thinking about gardening and, you know, whatever. And so they tongues of fire. So he said, wait, I'm going to send you somebody, the Comforter, and the Comforter leads and guides in all truth. And they're like, okay, He's going to send Baba. You know, that's what they don't know what that means. And so the Comforter, so they're praying, and all of a sudden, a mighty rushing wind. Think about that for a second. You're in your prayer meeting, prayer chair, and all of a sudden, so loud, so disruptive, so attention-getting, and it was so full of the force of God, the life force of God, that wham, there it is, there He is, and there were literally tongues of fire upon them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit at that moment, and they were filled with power, because that power that nailed them now opened them. And throughout the years, that has dulled down. People have not really taught the truth of the power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection. Think about Jesus when he died and was in the tomb, and then 3 days later, boom, that raw power, that was the Holy Ghost that pulled him up, that commanded him to come up out of the tomb. You have that whole same Spirit inside of you if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you know? Well, it's kind of by faith. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. And so you had to have faith to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you also have to have faith to believe and ask the Holy Spirit to come and you know, baptize you with tongues and fire. And when you do that, he does. He doesn't, he's no respecter of person. But some people are like, but I don't have it, I don't have it. How do you know? What are you measuring? Through your flesh? Through your knowledge? Does that work in any realm of the Spirit of God? No. Joe sang on that tonight. Our flesh does not know anything. And if we measure by our flesh, we limit it. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the second greatest thing that ever happened to me. The first was accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the second was being filled with the Holy Spirit. When that happened, my whole life changed. My whole life opened up. And what I mean by that is, it happened in a service at the end in the back of the room. And, you know, at Edgar and Holly's meetings. And good old Tom, you know, he had a gift for getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people have a gift for bringing people into the kingdom. He had a gift for getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. He had ways to bypass your intellect, and they were kind of silly, but they worked. And you know, I know a lot of people in here have had an experience with Tom and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And with that, the life force of God is operating through you and out of you. And he will operate through you and out of you in many different ways based on who he created you to be. Not who you think you are, but who he created you to be. And one of the exercises, you know, Paul talks about it throughout Scripture. You know, he says, I pray in tongues more than all of you guys. And he wasn't boasting. He was just saying, y'all think you know everything, but listen, pray in tongues. And I'm going to paraphrase it down. You know, I've heard, if I don't know anything, I pray in tongues, I pray in tongues, and I pray in tongues. If I'm in trouble, I pray in tongues, I pray in tongues, and I pray in tongues. If I'm confused, I pray in tongues, I pray in tongues, and I'm doing dishes, I pray in tongues. I'm driving, I pray in tongues. It's a muscle that gets developed. It's a spiritual muscle that gets developed. And if you don't have it developed, you don't know that you don't have it. But when you develop it, you can tell, oh, I'm a little weak today. Oh, I'm a little sharp today. And that's through exercising or use of the prayer language. And, it, you know, remember the Tower of Babel? You know, I've been talking to the Lord about this for a few months. You know, that was the counterfeit. They were building. People thought they were better than God, and the demons were coercing them to build this tower to be as great as God, and God kind of laughed at them and scattered them, and there was no common language after that. There was a common language before that, and tongues is the common language. It's the redemption of what was lost or stolen back, you know, many, many years ago. And so, you know, Roberts Learden wrote a book, Why the Devil Doesn't Want You to Pray in Tongues. It's a great book. It's a small read. It's very powerful because there's so much power when you pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're connected. There's no thinking. It's 100% raw Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf, and Jesus is listening, and things are being commanded. And things are taking place when you pray in the Spirit. And so I suggest everybody get filled with the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are the same. There's many names for that powerful Holy Spirit. You know, the Comforter, Spirit of Grace. There's just a lot. There's a lot going on there. So if you are at all interested in the more, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and just say, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. I want to be baptized by the Holy Ghost and with signs and wonders and tongues and fire and all of it. I want everything, and there's other baptisms too, but this is an important one. And so I just encourage you to develop that gift, because everybody has the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Did I answer that okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions before we go on? All right, Kim, you want to come up?
Could no longer help themselves. They were sinking. They could no longer, you know, they were sinking. They needed help. And that was very clear to him. And as he was sharing that, God was speaking to me about, well, I'm going to start with a prayer because, Lord, I ask, I thank you for the good hearts in here, the pure hearts, the hungry. I know that every person in here is hungry for you and they've cried out and you're responding. And so I'm asking for the Spirit of Wisdom, the Holy Spirit, to quicken each heart in here for what each heart needs to hear. I believe that every person in here at one point or another has cried out, search my heart, Lord, know my ways, see if there, find anything within me, and prove me. And so I thank you for searching our hearts and for responding to the heart's cries, Lord. And I pray that what you have for each person in here tonight goes deep and pierces, dividing that scripture that talks about the word is, you know, it divides asunder the bones and the marrow, and it goes deep straight to our spirit. So I thank you, Lord, for what you have. So this truck, you know, it was fancy, but it sank. And some scriptures were popping all at once inside of me when he shared this vision. And it's easy to think like them, you know, when I think one of the number one tricks of the enemy, when for me over the years anyway, you know, when you're sitting listening to someone preach or talk or share, is like, I wish so-and-so was here, or I hope so-and-so over there across the room is hearing that. and meanwhile, ding, 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 la, 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 and the enemy laughs. Like, got him again, went right over their head again, because it's so easy to, even out of a good heart, care about somebody else. So I noticed right away, the Holy Spirit was quickening to me that truck was white. It was spotless. It was beautiful. It was shiny. It was brand new. And then I was going to sleep last night, and I am TV stupid. I just don't know anything about commercials, TV, movies. I'd be the last person you'd want to ask. So I thought it was funny that when I was going to sleep, the Holy Spirit was like, what's the slogan for Ford? And I'm thinking, I don't know, but like Built Tough, like came right to my head. And I looked it up and it said Built Ford Tough. And I was like, wow. So I guess what I'm saying is I love the church. I've been to many churches. There are awesome churches. But I think that so many times in the church, we get in groups and it's easy to think like, because of our good hearts, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing so many things right, I'm tough, I'm ready for what God's about to bring upon the earth. And he's responding saying, but are you? But are you? And so Proverbs 21 was the scripture that Jim shared with that vision of that Built Ford tough brand new truck sinking. And so in the Passion Translation, I'm going to go through Proverbs 21 slowly, and I'm going to ask before I go through it that maybe you would close your eyes and just rest in God's presence and let him pierce you with anything that would bless you tonight out of the scripture. So Proverbs 21, it's kind of a long one. It says, God is the source of wisdom. It's as easy for God to steer a king's heart for his purposes as it is for him to direct the course of a stream. We may think we're right all the time, but God thoroughly examines our motives. It pleases God more when we demonstrate godliness and justice than when we merely offer him a sacrifice. Arrogance, superiority, and pride are the fruits of sin. Brilliant ideas pay off and bring you prosperity, but making hasty, impatient decisions will only lead to financial loss. You can make a fortune dishonestly, but your crime will hold you in the snares of death. Violent rebels don't have a chance, for their rejection of truth and their love of evil will drag them deeper into darkness You can discern that a person is guilty by his devious actions and innocence of a person by his honest, sincere ways. It's better to live all alone in a rickety shack than to share a castle with a crabby spouse. The wicked always crave what is evil. They'll show no mercy and get no mercy. Senseless people learn their lessons the hard way, but the wise are teachable. A godly, righteous person has the ability to bring the light of instruction to the wicked, even though he despises what the wicked do. If you close your heart to the cries of the poor, then I'll close my ears when you cry out to me. Try giving a secret gift to the one who is angry with you and watch his anger disappear. A kind, generous gift goes a long way to soothe the anger of one who's livid. When justice is served, the lovers of God celebrate and rejoice, but the wicked begin to panic. I'm going to pause there. When justice is served, the lovers of God celebrate and rejoice, but the wicked begin to panic. You know, wicked just means twisted thinking. It just means a little off. To love pleasure for pleasure's sake will introduce you to poverty. Indulging in a life of luxury will never make you wealthy. The wicked bring on themselves the very suffering they planned for others, for their treachery comes back to haunt them. It's better to live in a hut in the wilderness than with a crabby, scolding spouse. In wisdom's house, you'll find delightful treasures and the oil of the Holy Spirit. But the stupid squander what they've been given. The lovers of God who chase after righteousness will find all their dreams come true, an abundant life drenched with favor and the fountain that overflows with satisfaction. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends to the high place and releases breakthrough, bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised by how few troubles you have. Watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised by how few troubles you have. An arrogant man is inflated with pride. Nothing but a snooty scoffer in love with his own opinion. Mr. Mocker is his name. Taking the easy way out is the habit of a lazy man, and it will be his downfall. All the day long, he thinks about all the things he craves, for he hasn't learned the secret that the generous man has learned. Extravagant giving never leads to poverty. To bring an offering to God with an ulterior motive is detestable, for it amounts to nothing but hypocrisy. No one believes a notorious liar, but the guarded words of an honest man stand the test of time. The wicked are shameless and stubborn, but the lovers of God have a holy confidence. All your brilliant wisdom and clever insight will be of no help at all if the Lord is against you. You can do your best to prepare for battle, but ultimate victory comes from the Lord God. And that truck was not in position. And that truck was shiny and new. And God, during worship, highlighted, I'm in the Passion Translation again, Matthew 23:27. But then he has an encouragement, and he has life for us tonight. I just have to say, because he's impressing upon me to say this, you know, he has used Lori and Holly to tell on themselves and to be very transparent up here and to share just many of the ins and outs of the, is this off now? Did it die? It's green. That's okay. Yeah. There's a green light on.
Where's it show at?
The front on the.
It's black.
It's black on the front.
There's nothing there.
Those might be those cheap batteries I gave to Kina that she's been complaining about for weeks. I'm like, use them up. Like, we need to throw them away. You want me to pull these out?
Yeah, I'll need to try these. It shows.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll work now.
Now it's lit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, Tom. Okay, we all good?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, many times in here we've heard about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And before I share this scripture, I just want to say, you know, we've also heard, you know, apart from, we have to be in the vine. Apart from him, we can do no good thing. He's the vine and we're the branch. And today I was driving along, just coming back from the school that I was at. And, I just saw like the vine and then all these branches by themselves. And at the same time, I saw that truck by itself trying to do what was right. It was all shiny, ready for the battle, but it just wasn't lined up. It wasn't lined up like Holly talks about, right? It wasn't aligned. It wasn't in position. Maybe it hadn't finished dying to itself. And another thing that God quickened with me, like I said, was Matthew 23:27 with that white truck. Great sorrow awaits you religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds and imposters. You are nothing more than tombs painted over with white paint. Tombs that look shining and beautiful on the outside, but filled with rotting corpses on the inside. And we've all, you know, I bet every person in here has been through like really hard things. And it brings death, but God wants to bring life to every area of our life. Then there's hope. There's a solution. And so when Jim shared that last night, before he shared it, I heard the Lord say, dry bones come alive. And I heard four winds. And then God said, look up a wind map. And I didn't even know like there was a such thing as a wind map. But I looked up a wind map, and right in this like Illinois-Wisconsin border, sure enough, the wind was like coming down from Wisconsin to Illinois and out from Illinois to the east and out to the west and from the south. Like there were four winds, and Ezekiel talks about the four winds of God. And it was pretty cool. And so the bones come together, and this is God's heart. So I prophesied as I had been told, and as I was prophesying, I began to hear a commotion. Behold, it was the clattering of the many skeletons coming together, bone to bone. As I kept watching, muscles and sinews miraculously appeared. Flesh grew on the bones, and then skin wrapped completely around them, yet there was still no life breath in them. Then Yahweh said to me, prophesy to the breath. Yes, prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, Lord Yahweh says, divine breath, come now from the four winds. Breathe on these lifeless bodies so that they can live again. So I prophesied as he had told me, and the breath entered their bodies. They came alive, got up from the ground, and stood to their feet, a very great, immense army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the entire house of Israel. They kept saying, we are as dry as these dead bones. Our nation has been completely destroyed, and we have lost all hope. So prophesy to them, Lord Yahweh says to you, behold, I am now going to open your graves. My people, I will resurrect you out of your graves and lead you home to the land of Israel. And when I open your graves and raise you up, then, my people, you will be convinced that I am Yahweh, and I will put my Holy Spirit within you, and you will live again. I will resettle you on your own soil. Then you will know that it is I, Yahweh, who spoke to you, and I do what I say. I, Lord Yahweh have spoken. And so it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. And I believe all of the things that were being shared on the prayer call last night, you know, and these calls are specifically over these meetings in this ministry. It's just, there's precious prayer people. Barbara's one of them. She's prayed for many, many years. And, you know, she's at home praying when we're at the retreats and things like that. And there's just these faithful prayer warriors. And God is, he's pleading. He's pleading. The time is short, you know, for the move that he wants to do on the earth. And he told me that tonight he was stopping for the one, which is you. Like, he's leaving the 99. He's leaving the move. He's holding back for a little while longer of what he wants to do on the earth. It says, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit, right, on all the earth. And he's calling you tonight into a deeper walk with him, into a more intimate walk with him. For each person in here, you know, the little foxes that spoil the vine are different. The more intimacy is different. The further consecration looks different. But he's wooing you. He's begging. Like, if he could beg, he's begging you. Like, he's so excited for each person that's here tonight. Like, it's not an accident that you're here. There's a mighty call on your life. And there's a refiner's fire going on. And that was very desperate. You know, Jim was talking about the desperation of the person sinking. Like, they could no longer do things the way they had been doing. And it was very suddenly that truck just, they thought they were all prepared. And all of a sudden, it sank. And we need to be, the final thing that I really have to say is that, you know, during worship, I also felt like God was saying, like, you know, it's like the alignment. You have to be where my Spirit is. It's just like walking closer into where he is. And for each of us, that's a different place. We're all at a different little place in God, on the mountain of God. And he's saying, come closer, come higher. Come closer, come higher. I have so much more for you. I want to bring you above all the warfare. I want to bring you above all the turmoil of the daily life and the problems and the this and the that. There's pleasures evermore at his right hand. It's so much better. It's so much greater. It's where there really is peace. It's where there really is joy, not just on a Wednesday night, not just at a retreat, but on Monday morning. He says, will you come with me?
Yes.
Yes, I will. Pick me. Praise God.
Apart from him, we can do nothing. That's one of the greatest revelations that he allows us to experience. He allows us to experience that revelation. And we come as children, little children, into the kingdom, into our Papa, and he is the one who equips us. And to me, the truck, the big white fancy truck, you know, that represents, obviously, you know, vehicles are ministry in prophetic talk, dream talk. And so the white, big fancy white truck reminds me of a couple things. It reminds me of somebody starting up a construction business, and they got all the fancy tools and, you know, the fancy clothes, you know, the work with the little hammer thing in the pant, and you know, they got the DeWalt, and they got the Makita, and they got the Milwaukee gear and the hat, and but they haven't been apprenticed, you know. And you know, there's steps we have to take in God, and you know, there's just this thing called right order in the kingdom. And I'm just going to be honest. Have you ever gone ahead of God? Yeah, because we think we know best. Yeah. And how'd that work out? Yeah, crash and burn, and, you know, clean up in aisle 7. and everything else. But he doesn't do it to punish us. He does it because he loves us, and he wants to bring us into unity with him. Because when we're in it, when we're in him, it's all him. And that's the difference between the white truck and, you know, which is, represents the flesh. You know, people think, oh, white, holy, ah, that's a flesh truck. You know, it's but because it sank. You know, it was not equipped. It had the call, but it didn't have the anointing. And there's a difference. And the only way to get the anointing is by spending time in his presence, in his word. You can listen to sermons. It's not the same. You have to spend time with him, in him, and read the word, and then the word will come up and read you. And then you say, what does that mean? And he'll explain it to you. I had a dream two nights ago. And in the dream, God asked me to go back in time to when I was young and tell my young self some things. And one of them was, don't get caught up in the distractions. And the other was, master the art of persuasion. And I'm like, okay. So I wake up instantly, and I know, oh, I'm telling myself that now. Like, it, even though it was now, and I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? And I asked him, we talked for a while about that, and you know what he said to me? He goes, you know how you can't stand when somebody calls themselves an expert, and they're a mess, and he said, you know, and you know, like years ago, I went into counseling back when I was, you know, drug addicted, and the counselor was worse than I was, and see, because I've always operated out of discerning of spirits, and so I could tell that person was very broken, and I'm like, so that was one. The other is what usually ends up happening when, like, I know I can do it better, so I end up doing it, you know. And one of them was, I was dealing with a realtor, and they were, like, horrible. And I thought, good Lord, you're a realtor? You know, you don't know nothing about none of this stuff. And so I got my realtor license, you know, and you know, mortgage broker, you know, that's it. And so, but I can't stand when somebody calls themselves an expert or gets a title and they are clueless about their gifting, so to speak. And he's like, remember? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He says, I want you to become an expert in the spirit. And when he said that, there was compromise in my life. He said, don't measure yourself against other people. You know, it's so easy. We don't even know we're doing it, but we are doing it. And master the distractions. To me, one of the biggest distractions that I see is the telephone, the computer. It's so easy to go check the weather, and 3 hours later, you're watching reels or, you know, buying something that you don't need on Facebook Marketplace because it's a good deal. And guilty as charged, you know. And so, you know, I really asked the Holy Spirit to help me grow in this. And he actually challenged me with in three areas of my life that he wants me to develop. And when he was talking about master the art of persuasion, see, I can persuade. I'm very good at persuading. I have a gift of persuasion. I've had it since I was a kid. I can sell you a candy bar that you don't need. And that's how it started, you know. And I have a way. It's a gift. And he's like, I want you to start persuading yourself on these three areas in your life. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay, you know. And so I had to deal with false belief systems. You know, I'll do it later. Is this really important? You know, there was a bunch of them. And so I'm just at the very beginning of this, and it reminds me of the white truck, the hard wire. God is speaking to us in this hour to master our distractions. And, you know, we say the Lord is first, but really, is he first? You know, he is first sometimes, but what about the times that he's not? And I was in the Word earlier today, and or maybe it was you that just read it, or I don't remember, but he watches over every word we speak and every promise we say. He always fulfills his promises. And how many times have we said, Lord, I promise I'm going to, you know, and because we don't see him, we don't think there's a consequence. But everything we do is and say is recorded in the books. And thank you for the mercy seat, and thank you for the blood of Jesus and grace. But I feel like it's time to start persuading ourselves to grow in God. And you know, because he was telling me, he's like, I had a great time mowing the grass, because I was like, you know, we need to talk. And I like to mow the grass and just, you know, talk and ask him questions. And you know, there's very few, there's very few ministries that I respect. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but there's so much stuff out there. I don't waste my time with most of it. You know, there's a lot of prophets out there. I don't care what they're saying. I'd rather hear it from him personally. I don't need to hear somebody's parroted word. I would like to know what's going on straight from him, because he said we don't have to go to our neighbor. We won't have to. So why are we going to the neighbors to find out what he's saying? And so I've learned to develop that gift. And it's okay to go to your neighbor when you can't, when your gift is not developed. But if you're still, you know, drinking off the bottle and your spirit filled for 30 years, you know, you should be hearing from God. Now, it's always good for wise counsel to seek counsel. I'm not saying don't do that, so don't go to the extreme and get attuned. But because I take counsel, I seek wisdom when I need it. But, you know, I don't run off to the latest conference because I need a goosebump or because I need to hear from God. In fact, I've signed up for 2 conferences, and the Lord said, I'd rather have you stay home with me. And I'm like, okay. You know, and so I gave my tickets away. And so what I'm saying is, not a lot impresses me, and that shouldn't be. We should be operating in the gifts unmeasurably. You know, we're in the season where we need to start seeing the blind eyes open. And I know there's some people walking in that, and I'm not disqualifying them, but are we yet? Are we pressing in for the greater giftings? You know, in the end, you know, we're all going to be prophesying. The kids are going to be prophesying. Well, I don't know when the end's coming, but I want to do it now before the end comes. I want to help people. I want people healed. And not because I want to be used by God. I don't like to see them suffer. And I know that's not God's covenant. And so, you know, there was a time when I wanted to do it to be seen of men. I'm past that. Many years ago past that. I don't like to see broken people. And it doesn't matter if it's an eye, a limb, or a soul that has an emotional wound. You know, to me, trauma is trauma. And God has healed us, gave us the ability to heal traumas. And so I go after him. And you know, I like to fast. Fasting, there's nothing that clears out my pipe faster than fasting. But I have to be careful that it doesn't become a religion or a duty. And you know, like the Lord called me on a fast, and I'm thinking, water fast, 21 days. He's like, eat. I'm like, wait a minute, you're messing with what you've always taught me. See, he's trying to break me of the mold of I know best. You know, and I was going through some stuff, and I'm like, I feel like I'm on this fast, this 21-day fast. I'm like, Lord, I feel like I need to go on a 3-day water fast. He's like, no, you don't. I want you to build yourself up in me, not tear yourself down. We're in the building up phase. I'm like, I've always been tearing down, always tearing down. He's like, we're not in that season anymore. And so my season's not your season. Your season's not my season. That's why we need to know the voice of God. Otherwise, it becomes a program. And we're done with programs, guys. And someday the church will wake up and be done with programs too. You know, my heart's cry is to see real revival everywhere we go. There is a measure, a standard that he laid out in his word, and I can hear Holly saying, and I'm not changing it for you, you know. So I'm going to close here.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.